Looking at will be out of 2 Chronicles chapter 18, so I give you a chance to find that. Once again, we thank God for another opportunity that he has brought us together into his house, that we can fellowship with him, we can fellowship with one another, and at the same time, we can gather around God's holy word. And whenever there's a gathering around God's holy word, there's always an expectation to hear the voice of Christ. Is that right? And so this is a serious part of our worship service, the Word of God. And when the Word of God is improperly or not preached as it should, it would bring about false professors of faith, give people false hope. But we here at Southside don't want to do that. We believe in rightly dividing the Word of God. And we believe what the Bible says and what the Bible teaches, and that is our doctrine. To those who are able to stand, 2 Chronicles chapter 18, we're not going to read this entire chapter. And I hope I didn't say chapter 18. Did I say chapter 18?
Yes, you did.
I'm sorry, chapter 17. yeah, 2 Chronicles chapter 17. I know it didn't sound right. I said, it don't sound right. But I want to pick up our reading right there at verse 14, and I want us to listen very closely, because I want to talk about a man who offered himself unto the Lord. Verse 14 says, "And these are the numbers of them according to the house of their fathers of Judah, the captains of thousands, Adnah the chief, and with him mighty men of valor, 300,000. And next to him was Jehohanan, the captain, and with him 280,000. And next to him was Amasa, the son of Zichri, who willingly offered himself unto the Lord, and with him 200,000 mighty men of valor." Father, once again, we thank you now as we gather around your holy word. Father, we pray that there will be no distraction. We pray, Father, that you would give your people listening ears and a heart that is ready to receive your word with joy. And Father, I just pray that you create within all of us the excitement, the joy that comes as a result of your word. And I pray, Father, that the spirit of sleeplessness will be moved away from us. And I just pray, Father, that you help us focus tonight, because this message here tonight, Father, is not about one person, but it's about all of us. And I just pray, Father, that you touch hearts tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. That 16th verse, that was a very interesting verse that I looked at. "And next to him was Amasa, the son of Zichri, who willingly offered himself unto the Lord." And I want to talk about a man who offered himself to the Lord. In this chapter, our focus is on King Jehoshaphat, who took over the throne of Israel after his father, King Asa, died. But let us quickly outline this chapter so we can correctly establish the context. The first six verses of this chapter covers the first 2 years of his reign. And those first 2 years were successful. It is also important to point out in verse 3, if you have your Bibles open, verse 3 says, "And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam." Now note what the verse says. It says, "And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat," and that means that it was God who guided him, causing him to prosper and to succeed. Now, if you want to prosper and to succeed, you cannot do it on your own. You need God to guide you. And this is why God was with the king, because it says he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam. And by the way, the first ways of David was not his best. And some of his lies were are not good. And let me correct that. The first ways of David was his best. And I want to straighten that out. It was his best. But the last ways were not so good. And we're talking about the affair that he had with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah and then numbering of the people. And I want to say this, you know, even though there is sin in all of our lives, yet we need to be very careful how we criticize and talk about someone else. But note in verse 4, he sought to the Lord God of his father. That means that he prayed to God, worshiped him, and served him, and walked in his commandments. That means he observed them and kept them, and not after the doing of Israel, because Israel went astray, and they began to worship golden calves at Dan and at Bethel, if you can remember the story. And then verse 5, therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand. I like that. God established and supported his kingdom. Now, all of this is very important because the election is coming up. Is that right? And so many of God's people are unprepared for this. So many of God's people don't pray for the election. They just go through the motion. Well, God's going to do what he... Well, let me say this. We have a responsibility. And that responsibility is to acknowledge God in all that we do. Even though we hear reports and statements coming from the White House and coming from all the other places that appear sometimes not to be godly. But we have the responsibility because the decisions that it made from the lower and then up, and then to the presidents is very important. It affects all of our lives. And let me remind you again, when the righteous rule, what happened? The people what? All right. And when the wicked rule, the people what? Mourn. And that's very, very important to remember that. Now, note in verse 7 through 9 that Jehoshaphat showed care, and he instructed the people in the law of God. See, a good, godly leader, such as Jehoshaphat, he showed care for the people, for the nation. So he instructed them in the law of God. And so in the third year of his reign, he sent principal men from his administration to see to it that his people were taught and obliged them not to rebel against their teachers and to let them know what the king's pledge was. And these same men were to back up the priests and the Levites, who were the teachers now, who was authorized. They were authorized to teach. But verse 9 tells us what book was used to teach. And I like that. It says, and they taught in Judah and had the book of the law as a rule of their instructions and for the people's obedience. The word of God is clearly for our instructions. And the word of God, there's an expectation on behalf of God that God's people will obey his word. And that's very, very important. And then in verses 10 through 12, we have the respect shown by neighboring nations. Look at this here, because of God. Look what it says, verse 10 through 12. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. That means that there was no interruption to the work that he was doing. See how good God is? But look what it says. Also, some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents. I love that. And tribute, silver. And the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams and 7,700 he-goats. And Jehoshaphat waxed greatly exceedingly. See, God can cause those who are unregenerate to give to his people if we trust God, if we do what God says do. And then in verse 13 through 19, as we set the stage, we have the record of five of his captains, and they were fit for war in their respective districts. And that's going to be the setting here. But I want to focus on the third one mentioned in our text, Amasa. He's the one that I want to focus on here tonight. Number one, it was great for King Jehoshaphat to have a pious captain, one who could command an army and at the same time obey the commands of God. Christian people should greatly value a Christian servant, especially if they are employed in a position of trust. And that's why I say it's very important that we take a look at who we are electing, who we are voting, because we can benefit much better from a godly leader that are ungodly. But let me also say this, that God can also use those ungodly men for his purposes. So we have to keep that in mind. If we can have godly men to occupy our offices and transact our business, we ought to be very grateful. Is that right? And I'm very grateful for the godly men and women that we do have. And then number two, keep in mind, it was a great thing for the country of Judah to have a godly man in such position as a king. Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. My prayer is those people who represent us in the White House, House of Representatives, and Senate, and every office in the land should be men and women of good character. And this is what we should be designed of. Is that right? Instead of voting for somebody because they got an R after their name or a D. That's not good. The day shall come when it will be judged that those who are immoral, listen to this, are not the men and women to make our laws. Now see, let me say it again. We do not need men and women who are ungodly to make our laws. We need godly men. It is a great blessing for a country to have godly men and women in high places who will see to it that right is done, that justice is maintained, and that the ends of true religion are promoted. Now, I wonder how this man, Amasa, the son of Zichri, came to be a servant of God. Have y'all read the verses? Not much in it, is that right? Not much in it, but let me say this here. What we have concerning this man is all that we need to know, because we're going to find out there's a lot in those words that we have read, but yet, due to rush time or many that don't want to take the time to study the Word of God, they fail to see all of this in here. But no, we have no history of his experience. We have no record of the way in which this man was led to yield to Christ. But yet, since this man's life shows that he was serving God, we must be well content. If you are saved, even though you cannot tell when or how the great change was accomplished, we will rejoice in the fact of your salvation. And likewise, Amasa is a man of whom we do not know anything beyond what the text says, he willingly offered himself to the Lord. And so that must have been a turning point in his life in order for him to do that. There had to be a time when he knew the grace of God, which accomplished such a change of him. And there must have been a time of quickening and spiritual conversion. We are told nothing about that. Therefore, we must leave it under the veil which the scripture draws over his history. And I desire that the inward enlightenment that he enjoyed may be known by many of you, and that the Holy Spirit may work on your hearts and bring you out of your dark bondage and servitude of sin and to the glorious liberty of the gospel, which we also today can do what? Willingly offer ourselves unto the Lord. Now, first thing, when we look at this text, when we know there was five captains that was appointed by King Jehoshaphat. But this man was different from the other four kings, by the way. And let's take a look at what distinguished him from the other captain. Now, one day, as King Jehoshaphat was dealing with a certain business, according to verse 13, as he fortified the cities and reformed the people, he had his five captains stand behind him in a certain order. They were of the same rank according to their office. In other words, they were all captains. First, Amasa is distinguished from the other four captains. According to the Hebrew text, these were men who were commanders or officials acting under the authority of King Jehoshaphat. But notice here, he was listed number three in this order. The first was Adnah. The second was Jehohanan. And listen, many speculate that the listing of their names suggests that they had more authority than the other. But let me remind you here that we learn from this text that they were of the same rank. They were captains. But also we know that order does not mean that one was more important than the other. It's just the way how the text is translated. Now, first of all, in verse 14, note the word chief. You see chief there in verse 14 of your text? There? And that will remind you here, it is the same Hebrew word for the word captain. So that doesn't change anything. It doesn't mean that he was more a higher rank than the man that we're going to talk about, but that word is also the same Hebrew word that is used for captain. And by the way, Amasa, his name means burden of Jehovah, or of whom Jehovah carries. And now we're going to find out a lot about this man, simply by his name. By his name, we know that this man belongs to God. Is that right? By his name. It says his name means burden of Jehovah. See, burden simply means something carried. We know that this man had a responsibility for something difficult or unpleasant. This is what the word burden means, difficult or unpleasant. And you know what that unpleasant or that difficult burden he had? Leadership, by the way. Leadership. God is the one who burdened him. God is the one who placed this man into leadership. A lot can be said simply because of leadership. See, leadership is not easy. See, it's easy for sitting out in the pew saying, well, man, the pastor got an easy job. All he got to do is just go back there and throw some lessons together and come out preaching. You know, because you don't know what you're talking about if you are saying that, making that kind of statement. You know, he has to deal with all of us, and every one of us have what? We have our own feelings. We have our own problems within us. And you have to deal with us. And I thank God that he has a way that he's given the pastor how to deal with leaders and how to deal with members as well. Because let's be honest about it. If you examine yourself, are you easy to get along? You may think you are. It's easy to point out somebody else. I don't see how that person. Well, let's focus on our own selves instead of focusing on others. This man, once again, was in leadership because of God. And note that his father's name was Zichri. You know how many men in this Bible named Zichri? 12 men in the Bible was named Zichri. And the name Zichri simply means to remember. We know that Zichri remembered God. That's what it means, remember. He remembered God. He lived in a home, is what we're saying, where God was remembered, where God was constantly in their minds, where God was made aware of, where God was seen, known, and experienced. We know that Zichri was different from the other 11 men because now we know he was different because he was from Judah. And the name Judah means what? Praise, which reminded me of a woman named Leah, one of the wives of Jacob, and she said in Genesis 29 and verse 35, after Levi was born and after she conceived, she said, now will I praise the Lord. And therefore she called his name Judah. I love that. And we know that this man was born in a home where God was praised and worshiped. Now, I love that because in order for the home to get right, we need to do it the way that God say do it. Is that right? And homes are very important. You know, we should be praising God in our homes. That same atmosphere that we have in our homes should be the same atmosphere that we have in our services when we meet Wednesday or Sunday. Shouldn't be no different. But yet it is. Some would dare not to say what they say at home what they would say here. Let's be honest about it. You have to be very careful of that. That atmosphere at home should be the same setting. It should be a worshipful home. Because that the home, by the way, if you are true believers, God runs that home. Is that right? And a lot of times we want to run it our own self. But I believe, brother, if we do it exactly the way that God say do it, then we will be successful. And this is going to bring me up to something here, to what we see here. Because it was God who made Amasa captain over 200,000 men of Judah, even though Jehoshaphat appointed him. But yet in the background, that we cannot see the visible hands of God. Divine providence. is where God elevated him to this position. Not much need to be said to make this man feel, but the text says, who willingly offered himself unto the Lord. And this is a statement that set him apart from others. And I wonder how many of us can say this today, that I have willingly offered myself unto the Lord. And I believe, brethren, that we need to be very careful when we do make that statement. Because this statement that we're going to find out here in the remainder of time that we spend is a sincere work that only God can do in a person's heart. Now, I found out that nobody made him do this. This is what Amasiah wanted to do. He wanted to offer himself unto the Lord. A believer should know that it is a reasonable service to render yourself unto the Lord. See, look, Paul said in Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And this was a reasonable service for him to offer himself unto the Lord. Not only is this a reasonable service, it is an honorable service. See, men like a service that will reflect some kind of glory on them. But to serve God really gives honor and glory, but not unto us. But to serve God will always give honor and glory to whom? To Holy God. See, to serve him, listen to this, to serve him whom angels serve, whom archangels serve, whose service is perfect freedom, is the most honorable service to which a man can attain. If you want an honorable position and to be involved in an honorable service, and that service is simply is to serve God. I love that. That is nothing humiliating about serving God, because all of this tends to do what? It tends to lift us upward. See, to serve God is to reign, by the way. Every man becomes a king in proportion as he really serves the Lord, because what is said there in Revelation 5:10. And he has made us unto our gods kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. Now, not in the spiritual sense of reigning, but it refers to reigning with Christ in the new earth which dwelleth only righteousness. But not only is it reasonable to serve God, not only is it an honorable, but it is a rewarding, profitable service. Wow, what kind of profit can I get out of this? Well, first of all, let me remind you that the devil spoke a truth that he did not intend to speak when he said to God in Job 1:9, does Job fear God for naught? God never lets his servants serve him for nothing, by the way. He may not always give his people gold or worldly prosperity, but in serving God, listen what we have. We have grace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, if there was no other reward, just being a servant of God would suffice us. And I thank God for that. But note that the service that he gives was a safe service. Is that right? God would not put you into a position of danger when you enter into his service. The more you are obedient to the will of God, the more secure you will be from temptations within and without. Because I know that obedience will keep you from danger. The grace of God will preserve you from all evil. So whatever position that God elevates you in, do your very best. But note here, not only that we noted that he was different from these other captains, but I found out that he was a ready volunteer who willingly offered himself unto the Lord. I like that. You know what that means? That means that nobody had to go around persuading him to do this. Nobody had to go around begging him, well, you ought to do this. You need to do this. No. There was a desire in him to serve the Lord. And let me remind you there, if there's no desire for you to serve the Lord, you can beg all you want. You're not coming back to church. You're not going to do this, and you're not going to do that. So we might as well be honest about it. True believers who have the desire to serve God will be here when they're able to come. That's going to make that clear, when you're able to come. Because if you have the desire to serve the Lord and when you miss because of some unfortunate circumstances, I don't know about you, but it disturbs me. It bothers me when I cannot be in the house of God, when I cannot render service unto him. But I found out that the word willingly implies to volunteer. That is, to offer freely himself without being asked to. Now, how many of you today are volunteers for the Lord? You don't have to raise your hand. I just did that. Just think within yourself. You know, you know whether you're a volunteer or not. Freely. Desire of the heart. No one had to hunt this man down. How many church members seem to be like Saul, by the way? And we know Saul, when he was elected king, they could not even find him. Where's that tall fella, head and shoulders above the rest of the people? And then someone said, well, he had hidden himself among the rubbish. Well, many of the young men and women today are among the baggage and rubbish. And they ought to be coming forward for the Lord's service instead of hiding among the rubbish. The superintendent of the Sunday school says that he needs more teachers. There are plenty who could engage in this work, but where are they? Hidden among the baggage. Amaziah needed no leader, by the way. He needed no one to lead him other than God. But look what it says. He took the lead himself over 200,000 men. And think about this. I got about 70-some people that I have to control, and if I had 200,000 of them, whoa, I really have to be consulting God. But 200,000 men. Listen to this. We have many who will do what? Who will follow the will. Yes, yes, I'm a good follower. But let me say this. You know, we need sometimes somebody that's going to have to lead, you know. We know that those who do lead need to be led by Christ. They need to know God's word, believe his word, obey his word. And we know how they should act and be ready to act, even when no one else wants to act. But a spirit which one will not wait timidly, waiting until someone acts, but knowing the will of God, will at all costs go forth. So many people don't go forward today because they're too afraid, because I don't know what they're going to say. You know, the president sometimes is not afraid to make statements concerning Israel, and I'm glad he's not, and putting God and prayer back to where it needs to be. But yet, so many of us, when we hear that, we draw up. I wonder how much light backlash he's going to get. We ought not to be concerned about backlash. We ought to be concerned about being who we're supposed to be, and that is the light of the world, glorifying and honor God. But look what it says here. I thought this was very interesting. He offered himself to the Lord. Himself, by the way, was the best thing he had. Now note that, himself. Now, listen to this. I don't know if you heard this story before, but I thought it was a little funny here, but I understand what it's saying. But there's a story of a little boy at a mission service. When the collection plate came to him, he asked the collector to hold the plate a little lower. And the collector thought the little boy wanted to see his money drop into the plate. So the collector held the plate down a little lower. And the little boy said, "Please, sir, it is not low enough. Would you mind putting it on the floor?" And the collector placed the plate on the floor, and the little boy said, "I have not even a penny to give, so I want to get into the plate and give myself to God." I love that. I love that. See, many will give money. Many will give their voices to singing. But let me say that to you today. That's not enough. You need to give your entire self to God. If we're talking about giving, amen, just putting some money in the offering plate is not enough. What about putting in your whole self? And I found out that Amasiah had made no hesitation about this. He gave himself, he gave his money, he gave his ability, his time, his position, and his influence. But all was yielded for one purpose, and that was to the Lord. See, some say I paid my tithes and get as much money in the collection. But I'm glad to hear that. What have you given yourself is the question. I sing specials. Well, I'm glad to hear that you give your voice. What have you given yourself? I joined the church. Well, I'm glad to hear that. And that's the right thing to do if you are a true believer. But have you given yourself? And that's the question that we are asking tonight. Amasiah made no reservation or no regret about offering himself unto the Lord. He gave himself to the Lord as he was saying, wherever you put me, I will stay there. If you make me a great man, I will serve you. If you make me a little man, I will serve you. Give me health and strength, I will serve you. But if you choose to send me sickness, I will serve you. That's what we mean by giving yourself to the Lord under any circumstances. This is how we should come to Christ. Is that right? Willingly, without asking any questions. If he say come, we should come. If he say go, we should go. We should always be ready to obey his every command. And not only that, but I know that he did all of this in a secular calling. And what do you mean by that, a secular calling? Well, you know he didn't claim himself to be a prophet. Is that right? And some people would say, well, I can't do this unless I was called into the ministry. But let me say this. You don't have to be in a ministry to offer yourself to the Lord. Whatever legal and authorized and moral occupation that you're in. That's sad, though, but I had to put all those words in it because every occupation out there is not moral, not legal, that ministry shouldn't be in anyway. But let me say this. If you are truthfully in those occupations, you can offer yourself to the Lord. This is what we're saying here tonight. By the way, it is a great privilege and blessing to be set apart to the work of soul winning. But we must never separate that work from all of the rest of the calling of life, which is secular. Serve God where you are is what I'm saying here tonight. Serve God. If you're up in the White House, being our next president, serve God. Wherever you're at, serve God. Now, let's not get our focus off tonight. See, Amasiah had a difficult calling, by the way. We must be bold to confess our master. And see, the higher we go in position, sometimes the quiet that we get, timid we get. I don't know if I should say prayer because I'm up in this position, I may offend someone. Not to worry about me. If I'm there, I'm saying prayer. And I'm not saying that sarcastically. I believe in giving thanks to Holy God because what I have, he's given it to me. And without all these bountifuls that I have it because of him. And I believe, brethren, that we ought to be very, very important to this. But now as we prepare now, to close, I want to remind you of this. Even though he had a difficult calling, not only did he serve the Lord in a hard place, but I found out that he rose to eminence in it. I don't know how he began, but I do know when I looked at the text, he was commander of 200,000 mighty men of valor. He had become one of the five great captains of King Jehoshaphat's army. And let me say this, the man who fears God cannot be hindered for success. I like that. And then Amasiah said there, as he left an honorable record, note what Psalms 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him. See, no matter where you're at in your position, we have protection, by the way. No harm can come to you unless God do what? He permitted. Don't be afraid of what the world may say. Don't be afraid of ungodly men. But let's be an example to others. This is what we need to be. This man was an example to the young, because I believe that he was a young man when he started this. He offered himself to the Lord. Why wait to grow older in sin before entering into this glorious service? The world has nothing to offer you. And not only was he an example to the young, but he was an example to men of position. He held a high office, but he willingly offered himself to the Lord. And what should be our focus here tonight? Our focus should be simply about God offering himself to the Lord. And then finally, Matthew 25 and 21, his Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I like that. His Lord said unto him, "Well done." We do not have the ability to say that to ourselves. Is that right? We know that we can do nothing well of ourselves. And when we do all well, we know it is owned by God. But when we're done with doing our service, we still see ourselves as unprofitable servants. And we will acknowledge that all of our own is simply to the grace of God. But look what he said. His Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let me remind you of this. Such may be said to be good who only have the grace of God implanted in them. If there's no grace of God in your heart, then this will not fit you. This is only for those who fit the requirement here that you see here. Thou good and faithful servant. Those who preach the pure gospel, whole of it, without mixing it with anything false. And then he goes on to say, thou hast what? Been faithful over a few things. And let me remind you here that the few things has nothing to do with the truth of the gospel, nothing to do with what the ministers are entrusted with. But I believe that this is the few things is seen as the comparison of those things that we cannot see. That is the eternal things of glory, which are prepared and laid up for us. There's no proportion for them. But when all that is done, he said, I will make thee ruler over many things. And I believe this is referring to heaven, by the way, where we will be kings. We shall inherit the kingdom prepared for them that sit down with Christ in his throne. And then the final words, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Whoa. This is what God has prepared for those who are faithful unto the end. Is this what you want at the end? I do. I desire this. But that's not my aim. My aim is giving myself over to God. I have not done well as I should in doing that. And I believe none of us have. But this should be our focus here tonight. Offering ourselves unto the Lord. Father, thank you for this night. Thank you now. As we prepare now to close our service, we pray, Father, that the words that were said tonight